With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And welcome back to the second episode of Experiments in Mind. I'm your host, David. With me is the hypnopompic co-scientific director from Nights of Awakening, Justin. Say hello.
Howdy ho, neighbors. Howdy ho.
There you go. So, it seems like we didn't do a good episode explaining what we were doing last time. And you guys got to understand, a lot of times the subjects of an experiment don't understand what exactly is being experimented upon, or else they themselves will skew the answer. So I was intentionally leaving out a lot of information, but Justin feels like we could have did a little bit better job. And we have both decided to go into a kind of a Q&A on it to get everybody on the same page before we start discussing some of the results that me and Justin have been getting from using the quarter flipper at the link provided. So without further ado, let's get right into kind of like an interview where Justin is gonna break this thing down for you.
And in all fairness, my friend, I may have been the only person on earth that was felt that way. But in case there's one more person out there besides me, I just felt like I didn't understand I understood the parameters. I understood what we were doing. But maybe you can take us through why we're starting with this? Why this bare bones basic idea that we're experimenting with here first? And what is that idea?
We're building an alphabet, so to speak, of self discovery, and the eventual goal is for people to be able to follow the pattern that we have laid down here and use the same sorts of techniques that we are now building. We're building the techniques themselves, but the goal there is self-discovery and self-development to be able to, one, get better at making predictions and using your mind. And we're not always going to stick to using a quarter flipper. This is not a quarter flipper show. This, we're just using this tool right now as a means of going from zero to one, you know. So once you get at one, it's a natural jump to leap to two and three and four. But really, to go from nothing to something, you have to generate something out of the void. You have to just dig your hands into nothing and pull up something. So that's what we're doing. We're just trudging the ocean just to see what comes up, right? So the reason why we're using the quarter flipper in the way that we're doing right now is to get sort of a candle, sort of a flat rate measurement of our cognitive abilities at an operational level. This is not something that your mind can perform after you have been meditating an hour and a half, nor are the results something that you should expect to get right after you leave a rock concert and you're blistered, right? It's just on a normal day-to-day basis, somebody walks up to you and your abilities to read the situation and look into the future and make the right call. That's the general gist of it, right? So once you got that general baseline number, then we can play with that baseline number to see what helps it and what hurts it. Of course, winning the quarter flip is just the carrot on the stick. You don't get anything from it. Yeah, I got it right. No, I didn't get it wrong. No, I didn't get it right. You know, whatever. That's just an indicator, a measurement, and it tells us nothing else. However, when you jump from one flip to, like I have done 386 flips to date, you start to develop more of a statistic. And when you jump to that level, then you can use those numbers to determine, like I say, what is affecting that number. Now, if you look at it in terms of averaging everything out, you've had good days in life and you've had bad days in life. You know, good days just don't happen. You made those good days happen. There's no such thing as luck. You made those good days happen. And on the days that were bad, those are the days that you couldn't make a good day happen, right? So the natural tendency there for everybody is to run from pain towards pleasure. That's just sentience. So we're flipping this quarter. We set up our little carrot on a stick for our mind to chase down. We're trying to get the accuracy number while we're doing it. But in our own mind's attempt to be correct, we can determine principles that affect the mind and develop techniques to counteract those unwanted effects upon the mind. I hope that makes more sense, Justin. What other dimension of the situation do I need to go into on this?
Well, I think ultimately that does, and of course, we talked offline, and you explained a lot of that to me already. For the sake of those who may have been in the same boat I was, it's the carrot is what, and it was just hard for me to see the carrot, I guess. And I don't know if that's that same problem or that same issue either. Ultimately, I now understand what we're looking to achieve at the end of this, if there is a so-called end, you know what I mean? That's just kind of end in parentheses, if there even is an end.
The nature of any tool is that it can be used for whatever function you want. Okay, so whether it's a hammer or a screwdriver, you can use that screwdriver to drive screws, or you can use it to open a can of paint. Now, you can try to hammer nails with it, but the nail's going to shatter the plastic handle, and you're going to need a new screwdriver. So sometimes the tool works for other things, and sometimes it don't. That's what we're probing around and figuring out. And just because we get a bad answer, just because we fail at something, it doesn't mean we suck. It doesn't mean we're a bad person because of it. It just means that we attempted to use a tool in a way that it's not meant to be used. And it's just point blank as that. And then we can look into different ways of using that tool that it can work and works well and, dare I say, was designed to work in, right? So, you know, with that in mind, you know, it's not a quarter flipper show, and we're going to be doing lots of other fun stuff, but right now we've got to get a candle. We've got to get that baseline number, and that's going to require the audience to play around with this thing and flip it enough time to get a sense of what's going on and a sense of what goes right and why and what goes wrong and why. And once we can do that, then we can move forward into other fun stuff affecting it one way or the other. And there are some people out there that want nothing more than to be able to predict a quarter flip. There's some people out there that's all they're interested in, and it goes no further than that. But there's going to be other people that along the way of trying to get the flip right and trying to guess the prediction correctly, they're going to make discoveries about themselves and start applying that information across the board into other facets of life and discovering that same tool set with many different things, not just a quarter flipper.
Yep. I think you did. You satisfied my need to understand it more. And I think we just kind of rehashed the same thing we were talking about offline now. So I think we can probably move forward with the show today.
All right. So let's talk about where we started. We made a set of rules, just arbitrary numbers that we pulled out of a hat, and we said, flip this quarter flipper for 2 minutes and record your results and see what you get. So we start flipping, and throughout the week, me and Justin are talking, and he discovers, well, you tell us, what did you discover, Justin?
Well, so as far as going the original 2 minutes that we had put out there last week, you want me to just go over my results?
Well, I was going to go over the problem with it and why we moved on to larger sets, but
okay.
Share what you want.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was doing it 2 minutes, and I wasn't like very few times could I get to at least a nice round number like 10. I was most of the time I was hitting between 7 and about 9 in 2 minutes, and that was pulling the wheel out of sight. That was, you know, pen in one hand. I have a column. It's labeled 2 minutes, and I have yes, no, and then a category for how many the wheel got right and how many I got right. But I was only able to get between 7 and 9, and most times it was like 7. So maybe it's just some kind of OCD. I was trying to get to 10. That's what I was trying to do. So I was focused on trying to get 10 as many times as I could, and I could only get 10 like once. So, and I was talking with you, and you're like, well, you know, let's try 5 minutes. And I think you'd started trying 5 minutes also, because I'm sure you'll get into it, but I don't think you were hitting 10, at least 10 either, with 2 minutes. So with doing it 2 minutes, the wheel was closer to 50-50 overall, and I was at around 62% overall in my guesses with 2 minutes with the lower number. So, but I bumped it to 5 minutes because I was able to get 10 and 15. I was able to get between more like 18 most of the time, with hitting 20 a few times. But maybe we could talk about this real quick. How important is, so I'm focusing on, I will say, and my percentage was better when I went to 5 minutes clicking. I went up to about 66.66666, you know, forever accuracy. And the wheel was a little under 50-50. It was like, I think for the most part, it was more heavy to the no than yes. And that's no thing. That's just random, I guess. We don't know the circumstances of the randomness of the generator. But you know, like you said, eventually it should be 50-50. I don't know what that magic, quote unquote, that magic number of tries would be to get to that. But for me, it's like 66%. Which brings me to a question. I wonder if my accuracy was skewed because I was focusing so hard, trying so hard to get to an even number of tries, like 10 and 20. What do you think?
I think that is exactly why we're doing this. Those are precisely the types of questions that emerge once you start, like I said before, you reach down into the void, you're going down into nothing, you're just playing with randomness. Chaos itself, we have our hands in it. And you're pulling up, and while that may be insignificant to a lot of people, the act of doing it has generated more questions, which is perfect. That's exactly why we're doing it. Look at what we have done on a scientific way, Justin, in his own way. This is my belief, just going by my understanding of science, okay? We did it. And he did it enough in 2 minute intervals. And there was the added confusion of a miscommunication between myself and Justin. We were talking on the phone, and I said that I was only getting 9 flips per session, per set. Each day that I did it, I was only getting 9. And he thought that was a complaint, like I wanted to get more. So we jumped the bounds of the experiment, and we changed it entirely. we broke protocol and we said, okay, we're going to do it for longer. And that's fine because our attention, like I say again, that winning that flip, getting that hit instead of making another miss is so important to our minds that we have came to the conclusion this is not working. This little, you know, nine flip at a time deal is not giving me the accuracy that I want. I'm going to change the parameters so that I can get a higher accuracy rate. So that's what we did. And I started, I have in my notebook, you can see at the, in the blog that's on my website at experimentsinmind.com, you can see a sample of my pages, and not listed in that sample is right whenever I started changing over to, like, let's see, I've got 24, these are sets of total flips. I've got a set of 24, a set of 72, a couple of 48s, another 72, and then a couple of 24s. So I'm just playing around to see what works for me. Now, where Justin felt like his accuracy could increase if he did more per set, and it did, it went up to 66%, which is two-thirds of the time now he can get it right. Mine actually went down where I was landing around 66% with nine flips total in 2 minutes. Whenever I started doing the supersets, ultimately my accuracy for all flips went down to right at 50%, 50.52% for all the flips that I have ever done for this show, all put together. It's something like my total number for that is 386 total flips. Out of that, I got 195 of them correct, and the rest were misses. And it comes to 50.52%. So, for me, these are the oddities that we're finding out about ourselves, about the way our minds are constructed, the way we do things. I work better on the fly, being rushed. And Justin works better if you give him a little bit of time to organize his thought train around something. Wouldn't you agree with that statement? I mean, do not let me push an idea here. If I say something that don't sound right, you correct it. But is that not about the case, Justin?
It seemed to be. There was also a variable at the beginning of the week that you and I talked about, something more private, where I was not in a great state of mind either, and that's another variable that I have to that will show itself probably, you know, when I start this again, then, you know, the next set that I do, the next week long set that I do, will have another variable in there where I will not have that hanging over me. I don't know if that played a role in it or not, so that's why, you know, we'll do it again and see. But yeah, I can't disagree with that. The fact that that's what it shows. I mean that's exactly what it shows. When I gave myself more opportunities, for sure, I did better. So I guess, you know, if you're looking at the facts of it, the figures, that's exactly what it shows. Does that mean I need more time? Maybe it does. Maybe it does. I don't know. It certainly looks like it this time, for sure. Now, there's a learning curve here too, right? So I started getting better at clicking the wheel and writing stuff down. And I started naturally trying to not guess but sense the pattern. Now, which is interesting enough because it's not supposed to have a pattern, right? But I started trying to guess a pattern versus guessing what was going to show up. And when I had more time available to me, when I had the 5 minutes versus the 2 minutes, I felt like I had more time to seek the pattern versus just yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, 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 yes, no, yes, right, or whatever. Whatever I was guessing. So I don't know if you want to, you know, talk about that, but the fact is I did better when I had more time. So I guess we can read into that what we want to.
That may be the case, dude. That pattern seeking ability may just be spot on. I don't know. I haven't read the code to this clock to find out exactly what it bases its answers on. So I have no way of knowing at this point if it is actually random. Going back to what you said earlier, where you said it seems like it leans negative, this is something that we shouldn't know, because it's bad to take things on board, things like patterns and things like an overall. If you know on a real quarter, if you know that the head side is minutely heavier, therefore it's more likely to land in a down position just because of weight, you're kind of skewing the odds of what we're trying to do here. So I try not to do those things, but I can't help it. Like you, my mind just clings to things as it wants to. But I have noticed that there's a general trend in all of my 360-something flips that the thing does seem to lean a little bit more towards the negative. Now, do I need a bigger pool size? If I continue doing this for another 2 or 3 weeks, will they all even out to be 50-50? We don't know. We're not there yet. So, again, I don't know if there's any substance to your pattern theory, which is something that I've been, you know, harboring myself. I can't keep my mind from going there while I'm flipping this thing, because I want that carrot, right? I want that win. But, you know, at the same time, those things are there. And that's just something that we're going to have to deal with, because I really can't imagine any situation that we could set this experiment up to where you had an assistant sitting across the room flipping a perfectly balanced coin, you know, and you could not see it in any way. That's the only scenario that I can come up with, and I'm just, you know, not everybody is equipped to do that every day. I don't have anybody that'll sit there for 10, 15 minutes every day with me flipping a quarter. You know, do you? So this quarter machine is all we have. I mean, all I can think of. I'm definitely open to suggestions. There's nothing saying that we have to use this one. We can switch to a different one if the coding on it works more fairly to being a complete, truly random number. That's not a problem. But if you look, another aspect of the numbers, when I'm looking at my numbers, what I see, and if you notice on the website that I mentioned earlier, experimentsofmind.com, in the blog, when I do my flips, I don't just make tallies. I record the answers of each flip, what I predicted and what it was. I record the time, the date, and how I felt, you know? Like this last entry, awake, rested, slightly angry. That's my coding. I was at a restaurant and I went through the lobby. I wanted to sit outside. You know, it was a Mexican restaurant and they had the tables outside, and I wanted to sit outside, and I got a table and they sat us down and put the nachos and hot sauce down and just totally forgot about us. Well, halfway through the hot sauce, I'm kind of burning up and my mouth is dry from all the chips, and they had not even come back to check on us. So I was getting kind of irritated. Well, that's going to affect my score, you know, so I put that down in my notes. I mean, that's important. And I also write if it was timed or not. That's just me, because I like to know if I was feeling rushed when I did it. So I record all that information, and then I do them, and I record each flip, what I predict and what the answer is. And then I'll go back in and I'll circle all the ones that that I hit on. That way, as I'm looking at the page, I can see these patterns, and I notice, like you're saying, that you're keying in on the pattern of the wheel. I notice that my corrections, they're not just randomly hit or miss. Usually all of my hits are in groups of some sort. It can be a group of two or three, or sometimes even four and five. But I usually miss a lot, and then I'll hit a lot, one or the other. But I'm recording all that down. That way, weeks from now, after I have long forgotten that specific day and that specific time, I can go back into my notes and use this information to like slice it in a slightly different way. And I can go back through and I can say, okay, I'm going to go through and I'm going to get a number of all the flips that I did whenever I was tired. So I'll go through and I'll collect all of those up, just those sets. And then I'll go through and I'll collect all the ones that I did whenever I was rested and feeling good. And then I'll compare the percentages of those, and I may find some kind of correspondent, you know, some kind of pattern to that, you know, that I get more of them right when I'm well rested and feeling good. And that's exactly why we're doing these experiments. But for right now, we're just forming a baseline. And the big question is, the big overarching question is, if precognition is a real phenomenon, are we really doing anything here? That's the question on my mind. And I mean, what do you think, Justin? Do the numbers show? I mean, what do the numbers show exactly?
Well, they're showing me that, at least this first time through, they're showing me that just because I have a 50-50 chance doesn't mean I can't exceed that and exceed it by a lot. And each time I do this, I begin to narrow down what works and what doesn't work. Now, what's interesting to me is that if we know we have a 50-50 chance, yes, no, or tail, heads or tails, as you call it, quarter flipper. If there is a set 50-50 chance, and I go through a series of this, and then I have, you know, let's say I have 40% right, and then I change something, not about the, I don't change the quarter and I don't change the odds of heads or tails, but I change something like, you said you were taking notes about different moods, for example. I had made a note earlier about I seem to do better the more opportunities I have. I think what's interesting to me is that the more we do this, the more we're going to see just really how much is actually random and how much isn't random. That's, for me, at the end of this, each step we take is getting me closer to that, where my mind has been blown, how these things are supposedly random. We're supposed to be 50-50, and, you know, if you do this enough times, if you put a quarter enough times, you should get to a certain number, but we're going to exceed that. I mean, we already have. Now, if I do this exact same thing another 100 times, will my percentage be at 66.66%? Will it drop? Will it get better than that? Do we change the flipper? You know, will that make a difference? Big questions I have. But that's a part of that's interesting to me. If I change the flipper, in other words, if I paid somebody to sit here and flip a quarter same amount of times every day, even though that I have a 50-50 chance, by changing the tool that I'm using to give me that random result, yet I'm still using the same predictive ability, how much better or worse can I get? And at what point do we narrow down the parts, the things that make us more successful or less successful? That's the part I'm most interested in continuing doing this for the long term.
Okay. So in typical Justin form there, you just give me the world in a nutshell, and that that doesn't work. I'm going to have to cut it up a little bit finer. To put things into to a more of a linear sequence of events. Just using yes or no, can we conclude from our results from experiment one that although our answers are inconclusive at this point, there does seem to be some sort of phenomenon going on there that would yield better than a random result? Yes or no?
Okay, so you're asking me if there is something underneath this that's causing it to be more than just a random result?
Yes.
Is that what you, yes. Yes, there is.
Yes.
There's obviously something there.
Not using your life experiences, not using what Uncle Ted told you, using the numbers that we have generated, does there seem to be something going on?
Yes, because...
Okay.
Because 50-50 doesn't match up with 66, right? I mean, there's something going on there, for sure.
Exactly. So that's our, let's call that our conclusion of experiment one, that even though it is, not definitive at this point, there does seem to be some sort of phenomenon going on. And where we're going to go from there is to figure out what is going on by tweaking the parameters, like you say. So what direction do you want to go in? We can pick another quarter flipper on another site and to see if our statistics remain the same, or we can start changing the variables using the same one. Which do you think would be better at this point?
I say we stick with what we got, especially because we aren't allowed to control what it does, right? Just let it roll.
True. It's just you're talking earlier about, the getting in tune with the pattern and using whatever precognitive abilities you have now, using them on a different quarter flipper to see if the rate stays the same. I thought you just might want to jump over and use a parallel one just to cross-reference, verify that this quarter flipper is running about random, but that's fine. What variable would you like to isolate? Anger, sleepy, alert, tired.
I think there's a lot going on in the world right now. I think it'd be really easy for us to be angry or frustrated or try that. The interesting thing is that we didn't lay out any variables. It was just do it when you had time. So I know for me, like you were saying earlier, for me, there was a lot of all of mm-hmm. that in there, and I didn't pay no mind mm-hmm. to it. So whichever state you pick, I think it'll be fun and interesting to see how much better we can do, or worse for that matter. I guess it could be worse too. So yeah, just pick one.
Okay, so... Well, I don't know how to compute that into the thing. I mean, we could.
You asked me if you did, variable to change. I'm basically just telling you to pick one.
Well, yeah. But then again, if I'm recording all of my different states, all of my moods that I'm in during each one, Am I not able then to like compare set against set? Instead of running them all together and saying I've got, by next week's show I'll have, 700 flips or whatever. Instead of giving you a running total, which tells you nothing, compare, like for instance, on the flips that I have, and I have recorded my states and moods, I usually get 9 spins in 2 minutes with about 6 hits and 3 misses. That seems to be about my normal, which is right on track with yours at 66%, Justin, interestingly enough. But when I jump to the supersets, the big ones, it goes down, to like 13 hits, 11 misses. So I think my strategy is going to go with using 2-minute timed timed sessions and recording my specific state that I'm in at the time, whether I'm sleepy, whether I'm wide awake, whether I'm tired or well rested, which is different than being sleepy. Tired and sleepy is two different things. And calm or stressed. Those six different variables, I'm going to use those six tags to define, and usually each entry will have at least three, because they are dichotomies, and I'm usually towards one or the other. So I'm gonna record my 2 minute time sessions with those three different variable tags, and then next week we can compare, not totals, but set to set, to find out which sets do better than others. Now you, because you tend to do better the longer sets, what I need from you to do is to like name a number and stick with it. That way all of your sets are kind of uniform, because you are going to be comparing one set to another. So just go ahead and throw a number on me, whether it's, 48, 36, 72, however many you want to do in a session. And you don't got to do one a day, I guess. But they need to be in various states. You're not normally an angry guy, but if you can manage to get mad about something next week, that would be great. And then you have one where you're happy and in a good mood. You've been playing with the kids, whatever. That way we can compare one to the other, and it's equal footing to equal footing. Even though we know this is very complicated, we know that percentages are equal, just because that's the way percentages work. But at the same time, we also know that the more flips that are in a single set affects our accuracy. So all I need out of you is some sort of consistency of set size. And I'm going to run with the 2 minutes, nine flips, whatever, and do it that way. And then we can meet back up next week, talk about how our various moods affected one or the other, and then we may figure out some way after that of checking, I don't know, what else does being in those certain states in life change, I wasn't wanting to do the rice experiment so quickly, but it seems like that would be a good time if we discover that being happier or upset affects our numbers a lot. It just seems appropriate that we look into it with the rice at that point. I don't know.
But
what do you think?
Yeah, I think for me, I would very much like to just do, you just take, let's say I do a set of 50, and just take these more polar opposite states of being at that time, whether you're angry or happy, if our next move is to do the rice experiment, I think it'd be interesting to see what those two states bring to your guessing ability.
Okay.
In other words,
that sounds good.
Yeah. So you asked me for a number. I will do 50. I'll do 50 happy, 50 opposite of that, whether it's sad or mad or whatever. But I'll do 50 of each day for the week, and see what that yields me using the same quarter flipper. A little caveat to this, though, I do want people to know, just like you, I have been erasing my cookies there, so that it's a fresh session each time. It's not like holding on to old information or whatever. And I think that was something you and I were talking about offline.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if that...
I completely forgot to mention that.
Yeah. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but it seems to be my preferred way of doing it for some reason, just because maybe I think that it builds. I don't know this, but I think in the back of my mind, I think that if I don't do that, it starts building a pattern off of me, and I'd rather it just be fresh each time. I know that might sound strange, mm-hmm. but
no, that don't sound strange at all. I have I use DuckDuckGo a lot. I try not to use Chrome too much. And I use DuckDuckGo. Yeah. It don't have all the ads, and it blocks all the data miners and all that. They're trying to track you everywhere you go. So it naturally does that right off the bat. I don't have to go in and turn off anything or change any of my settings or whatever. But yeah, I do use DuckDuckGo. So let's do that. I'm gonna try to do my sets like one in the morning, one in the middle of the day, and one before I go to bed every day, and see how that works. And we'll compare from morning to night or morning to morning. We'll be able to see what's going on with me. But that sounds like a good logical place to go. It's not too far of a jump, but at the same time, it's more refined. And if we get all the information cataloged at the time that it's done, that would be a big help. And Justin, for you, I know you just make tally marks or whatever of your yeses and nos. If you record each one of them, a Y or an N or whatever, you'll start to see patterns within the set of what I've been talking about with my findings. That would be interesting too, if you could do that.
Okay. Yeah.
So anybody that has any information, you can email it to me at there'll be an email, a submit your data button in the blog for experiment one. Of course, there'll be a new blog for this is experiment two, isn't it? It's kind of a quasi new, it's the same experiment, it's just more refined. We'll call it experiment two, tracking the data. So again, there'll be another link there to submit your data. Just explain what you're doing and give me as much information as you have. As always, we're opening phone lines in the second half of the show. If you want to call in and discuss your numbers, we'd like to hear them. And it will be fun to see the same phenomenon that's affecting me and Justin, because, like I said earlier, my sets of nine reflect his sets of 50 perfectly. Where I can jump up and make predictions very accurately, but only for a short period of time. Justin takes a little while to get to it, but we both do the same thing. And it will be fun to just talk it out with the audience and figure out what they're doing. So next week you can catch us here. We never know a date, and that's really bad for calling shows not to set a date ahead of time. We try to do it somewhere in the end of the week, Wednesday through Friday, somewhere like that. But you can call in and share your information with us or submit it on the site. And if it's submitted on the site, not only will I publish it there, but I'll talk about it on the show too. So and that would just be more data to correlate with what we're doing here. But it would be great if it was more people besides me and Justin, because honestly, I don't feel like you're going to get as much out of it as you could if you're just speculatively like listening to this like a, you know, like an audience member. No, you got to be a lab tech. You need to get your hands dirty and see the stuff happening to yourself. That's whenever it makes it real, right? When you see the effects of what we're doing start to affect your numbers. So that would be kind of fun for everybody, right? That's all I've got for this episode, Justin. If you want to shut us down in typical KOA fashion, that would be fine with me, bro.
All right. Thank you for listening. Make sure the great thing about this, if there's a question about what it is we're asking you to do, you know, is rewind it. You know, that's the cool thing about listening to it on the replay, and rewind it. And, you know, I too looking forward to seeing what you guys, I was interested to see how close we would get. And you and I pretty much, even though we kind of did different numbers of sets, and yours was a little faster than mine. Now we got to the same thing, so that's kind of cool. I mean, I can't wait to hear from everybody else either. So, and of course, as you said, we'll get a date as quick as we can. I think, but you know what? I think we have like 4 or 5 days notice on this one, so I think that's pretty good. But David, give us that website again.
It's going to be the name of the show, experimentsinmind.com.
Experimentsinmind.com. Also, you'll be able to get you'll be able to get information at the Knights Awakening Facebook page, and the KOA web page is down for maintenance right now. I'm kind of cleaning house, so to speak. We won't get too much into that, but it's nothing bad. That's true. But check those two places to see when the show's coming up next. And until we meet again, awaken the night within.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.